Alrighty then, what's good, you guys? This is YoCarWrecked here, and hi to my listeners that are both adults and kids. So, I just released a 5PD video for YouTube that specifically is geared for kids, and the only reason I did that is because most actually 99% of all of my videos on podcast episodes are not for kids, most of them. So I decided to do an episode that was geared for them and that's specifically designed to target kids as an audience because there are certain things that they miss out on because they're too young. And so I did a little episode on 5PD. The only call out that was done on 5PD was a hit and run call, and it was just us getting set up and everything. So you guys can go check that one out. But with all that set aside, a reason for this video is this is an I'm trying to do my goal is to do two kids videos a day. So I wanted to do some educational content. And so we're going to be learning about some history facts and how to and some different technology stuff that your kids may be interested in. So I'm going to head over and let's go to the search bar and I'm going to type in I'll just type in history and let's see what we can get. Okay. That's a bunch of YouTube videos that nobody really needs, but we're going to be doing history of the United States today. And we are going to be going to Chappelle.org to look at some of these different history events and whatnot. I got a 100 in my African American Studies class and a 90 something in my World History class. So believe me when I say I know what it means to get a good quality education. It means that your kids will accelerate and that they will grow. So today we're going to be looking at some of these feature manuscripts. We're going to be looking at Roosevelt, and then we're going to turn over to the technology side, and then we're going to look at some technology information that might be useful to you guys in learning computer literacy. That's important in today's world. So the background of this transcript, the full images and all that, Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens, beginning in the third person, declares that the American historian of Joan of Arc thanks Depew for proffered opportunity of meeting the ambassador of that great country whose redemption Joan achieved by her genius and consecrated with her life, quote. Then switching to the first person, he regretfully declines the invitation, trusting that Depew will make it the occasion a success. Quote, this I do with full confidence as knowing your all-comprehensive competency these many and many pleasant years, end quote. So this thing really is a letter from way back when. I completely forgot when it was. Oh, it's here. It just says it right here. I'm dumb. It says right here. It says October 23rd, 1902. And then if you examine the letter, I'm gonna let you guys examine the letter and see what you guys can pick out. I know it's in cursive and most kids don't know how to read in cursive. But there's a translation on the right. But I want you guys to use your context brains here to figure out to try and challenge yourself to figure out the context of this, because some of the words in here are not in plain spoken slang English that we use today. These are in elegant times where they use the utmost prominent English, not the English we think of today, where we're like dis and dat. No, they actually used complex and very high spoken terms to describe certain things. Even in the Constitution, where it says thereof and thereafter, Those are just really another fancy term for this and after. That's really all it is. They're just using those to make themselves sound above everything else, which they are. They were, at least before they died. And the whole point of it is to make it that it's of utmost importance is the reason for their languaging there. That's how things are spoken up until around, I would say, the 1960s and 1970s, but really the late 70s, where people began to deteriorate from the elegancy of their speech, with the exception of higher offices, and they began and some other countries, and they began to and especially in America, and the common people began to start using slang terms like this, that, those street folks, that's all folks, that kind of stuff. That's when we really started doing that. But way before this, they always talked or spoke or written. Or wrote in this type of dialect, and that was kind of their trademark. That's why when you watch things like Liberty Kids, you hear them say words that really it's more geared for kids. But I'm taking a good example. If you went back in time to 1776, they would speak in the highest class. But if you come to 2021, they would speak like some guy that came off of the streets wearing a hoodie and some sweatpants. So that is my term of putting it. So I want you guys to examine this letter, and I want you guys to see what you can find. I'm gonna challenge you to do it. The link is gonna be in the description, so you guys can read it for yourself. And that's my challenge to you, is to use your context clues to figure out both the context, number one, as to which this letter was written, the type of letter it is, because there are many different types of letters. They're informal, formal, there are greeting, and so many more types of letters that are introduced into the world. Then I want you guys to find the type of letter in there. And the third and final thing I want you guys to do is I do I without cheat without cheating, and parents, you need to help me. Without cheating, I want you guys to cover this up on the right-hand side of the screen. You might need two parents to do it, because I have small hands, so I can't do it myself. And this is a recording, so I can't do it anyway. But if you have big hands, I want you guys to cover the right side of the screen. Bring your kids into the living room or kitchen or whatever, and try and have them read this word for word in cursive without looking at the side notations. I would like you guys to try and do that. That's my challenge to you guys, okay? I want to challenge you guys to do this, okay? The next thing we're gonna look at is FDR's 4 terms, why he got elected to 4 terms. So let's dig in a little bit what we know. Well, FDR is the only president in US history to serve more than 2 terms. There are two circumstances that, well, really three, but we're only going to focus on two circumstances that caused this. Number one, he was popular, and he was not corrupt, and his deals got a lot of people out of poverty. Number two, prior to 1945, when Harry S. Truman signed into law the presidential term limits from the Constitution, and it was ratified, the actual law said that nothing, really nothing, about the term limits. So you have to go back, in order to understand this further, you have to go back to 1776. In 1776, when the Independence War was being fought and the framework for the Constitution was being dreamt up, nobody even thought about term limits. And then in 1781 and up until the late 1700s, when George Washington was then became president, it was clear that George Washington did not want to run for a third term, even though his advisors and everything said he was so popular he should do it. There are two reasons for this. Number one, it's what's called a precedent. A precedent is just you see, monkey do. Basically, if they see that a president prior to them does something that is quote, importance, then the people that follow them will be tempted to do the same thing. That's what a precedent is. The second circumstance is that George Washington, as we all know, owned slaves, released them, and then he died. So he could not serve third term. In a matter of fact, he would have been too sick. So those are the two reasons why George Washington never did more than two terms. So his two-term precedent carried on for several decades. And even when Abraham Lincoln was in office and he was set to be assassinated, Abraham Lincoln never considered breaking the precedent, because even though he could easily win his policies, he felt that it would be unnecessary and a very, very, very dark evil. In fact, most presidents actually thought that it would be considered a very bad idea to go for more than two terms. Grover Cleveland, who was actually served two non-consecutive terms, and he was the first president to ever serve non-consecutive terms. That means he went 4 years, another president took over, and then he came back and ran again. With one different president sitting in the middle. That's what you call in consecutive terms. So he was the first president to do that. And when he was in office, I don't even think he had the popularity to win in my book. But the real reason is that he, like all the other presidents, also thought that it would be a very bad idea. Now we go to the guy before Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Hoover, and his policies were so unpopular that he couldn't run for more than two terms anyway. And then we get to FDR, and FDR proposes the New Deal. Now this is where things get a little tricky. FDR, I'm in my email, FDR, and let me search up an image of him. It is this guy right here. He believes that it is the fundamental value of America that's going to pull Americans out of the Great Depression. He believes that his policies can do that, and that it's time for big government to intervene. And even though smaller governments didn't like this, the people loved his policies, and with his control in both houses of Congress and both chambers of Congress, he was able to get stuff done, maybe not by overwhelming margins, but you have to remember at the time when most politics was out of good faith, the filibuster was never really used, only in times when it had to deal with slavery and civil rights was it ever attempted to be used against them and against my race. But the filibuster in this case, because everybody was suffering, it was never really used. It was hardly ever used. And so as a result, a lot of his policies did get through with little opposition. This led to him running for four terms, and then that's where things get very complicated. In 1945, after he died, some people became a little wary and quite scared that without term limits, and with dictators in Nazi Germany proving this to be the case, corruption and presidents not having term limits will make the downfall of America. So they draft a constitutional amendment, and then with a two-thirds of all the states ratifying it, They were able to sign it into law. President Harry S. Truman signed it into law, and that's how we got the term limits of the United States presidents. Now, why does this matter to us? Because, as we've seen with some folks, I'm just going to put it at some folks, but some parents might know who I'm referencing. Some parents might not. Some kids will definitely not know what I'm referencing when I say some folks. But as with some folks, there is corruption that will cause the downfall of the country. And if they have no term limits, they will, and we will all suffer. So that's why. So that's the whole point behind it. And so now we're going to go into our tech thing. I only have one thing in the tech world, and that is learning the basic features of Windows. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, that's my Battlefield 5 picture. I should probably... It's like a soldier. Should I censor this? No, I'm not going to censor it. It's not like he has no shirt on or anything like that. So I mean. So yeah. We're going to learn Windows 11. So, I'm going to take you guys, we're going to do some basic Windows 11 functions. So, if you guys don't have Windows 11, you have to have the minimum requirements. I'm going to show you a neat little trick. I'm going to open up three tabs, okay? Open up Discord, minimize my DM, and I'm going to do this. One, two, three. Now that's a really neat trick. Microsoft Windows 11 has a feature built in where you can literally go in and snap, like you has to have a special program for Windows 10 in order to be able to do it. Now you don't. Now with Windows 11, you can do it on any computer at any given point in time without having to have special software. I need to really get out of my DM. Because my friend is going to be livid with me if he sees the message history come up on the homepage of my thumbnail. So I am going to go into the server so that way it won't do anything or see, or you guys won't see anything that's personal. I do not want that to happen. And I will also click away from this thing and go to my anchor.fm page so I'm not tempted to open my email while I am in this, because I do not want you guys to read my emails either. I have some pretty personal stuff in there. Okay, so now you guys know how to do the snap feature. But did you guys also know that Windows... Alright, so whoopsie, you guys, I made a little error, and I literally just realized that, for whatever reason, I clicked out of my thing, and it stopped the recording, so now I gotta upload two videos to this instead of one. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was showing the remote desktop feature and the new other features, and I clicked out of it. These are the new desktops. I'm just going to go through it really quick. And this is the Trusted Platform Module thing. I hit in tpm.msc. If you don't have TPM on, then you got to enable it in order to download Windows 11. Alright, so I think that's all I wanted to cover. That's all, you guys. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I'm out.